This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, it's me and it's the FBI and the CIA and the Sheriff's Department and the police and the President and the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And
Highway Patrol, Chips.
Yep, Chips and the Forest Rangers.
Federales.
And the Federales are with us as well, and Interpol is there. Mm-hmm. And we are with the Oinkster guys, and we are knocking on the doors of people who are leeching but not seeding.
Okay.
And we are, you know, it's like, it's one of these things where obviously the law enforcement agencies don't like the Oinkster guys very much, and they don't like me, because mm-hmm. we're both responsible for some pretty shady activity, but there is an even greater evil, which is Oinkster's gonna oink. Like, there's mm-hmm. going to be this Pink Piggy Palace where you can get all of your favorite audio files. That's going to exist. As long as that's true, you have to seed. You cannot just leech.
Mm-hmm.
And even doing the minimum just to hit the limit so that your account doesn't get shut down is not enough in the eyes of myself or the law.
We so find you this have guy, been reporting not people that are leeching but not seeding.
Oh.
Or at least not.
Very like, much so.
The required ratio. Do you want to talk about some of the content you've been seeding lately?
Yeah, sure. I'm seeding the entire catalog of one Mr. Ira Glass.
Wow, that's a very long seed.
Yes. And then there are, obviously that is a tree trunk off of which many branches exist. Partly Cloudy Patriot is going to be an audio file that you can seed.
Okay, what is you can leech what is from me. That?
Partly Cloudy Patriot, the Sarah Vowell essay collection. Do you know her better from her?
I know the Wordy Shipmates. Is that
the Wordy
that as
Shipmates
well?
Was prior and Assassins was after, but it's at you know, it's sort of neither here nor there. Sure. But yes, you know, some of Jonathan Goldstein's you know, work will be up there. Wiretap and some other, and then of course
Dave.
We got Me Talk Pretty One Day is
yes,
there,
Dave.
And yes, when you are engulfed in
that's my
flames,
Dave. When people
and,
say I'm going to see Dave,
yeah, I'm camping to, out, man. I just
borders.
I got the cooler packed up and I'm hitting the parking lot to tailgate hard before Dave. I'm gonna be fucking hippie flipping, man. I'm gonna eat a quarter of mushrooms and drop two fucking Molly stacks, parachute them straight to my gut. And they go, oh shit, all right, what are you hoping he plays? And I'm like, I'm hoping he does some stuff from Barrel Fever. You know,
he's gonna do the elf stuff for sure.
Yeah, I go, oh yeah, gotta do Santa Land, man. If he does, oh gosh, if he does trucker buddy about the urine bag that you can tape inside your leg, I'd just about die and go to heaven at that point, man. I'd be ascending into the rafters.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook. An Insider's Guide to Kicking Butt and Dropping Names in the Red Carpet Lineback Hallways of this industry we call showbiz. And it is so nice to see friends, so nice to see repeat guests that we haven't seen for a little while and catch up with what they are up to. These are famous guests on the show and friends of ours. They've been on the show before.
But they exist off the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people, they listen to the show.
Yes.
and they hear guests like you guys, and they think that when they turn off their little box or they stop their episode, often before the episode is finished, and they try something else, that you stop, you know, doing what you do. But it's
just
not
existing.
True. Yeah, it's not true. You're in the world, and you're trying to affect a positive change.
That is actually really helpful for you two. Let's start with this. That, like, once the show's over, that you're still alive, you're still out there doing stuff. And because that would help, I think, a lot of our listeners not be as upset, not cry, not freak out.
Yeah,
Dom, well, and the Scuzz Man. This is,
yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I'm
this
Dom.
Seems like a Dom.
Scuzz Man.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up?
Oh, man. I think the last time we spoke, we were in a different place. You know what I mean? Like, mentally, physically, we were in a completely different place. But we definitely exist outside of the pod. That is, I can reassure you.
Oh, yeah. I exist, baby.
Maybe a little too much.
No. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, brother.
He's, yeah,
a little too much.
Has a lot of sex.
There's a lot of Scuzz Man to go around, man. You know, people can handle it or they can't. You know what I'm saying?
Very polarizing outcomes with the Scuzz Man. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm up. I'm down. I'm all around, you know, brother.
Talk a little bit about your temperature, because you have been, you were telling us before we started recording that you, have been breaking out into, like, a, you know, a huge sweat, and you'll just be, like, completely drenched and feel like you're burning up. And minutes later, you will need to put on, like, a big parka because you're so, so cold.
Oh, yeah. It has not been going away for a couple months now. I will just, you know, get really hot and sweaty, cough. Almost
is that
passed
that
out.
doesn't seem related at all.
The coughing?
For most people, I don't, maybe this is just me, being hot doesn't make me cough.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree.
Okay,
when you get that heat cough, that, like,
okay.
Is it hot in here?
Yeah, man, are you doing it? Are you doing it right? Because
The Scuzz Man kind of coughs to release the hot air. Like, it's a way of cooling himself off, is what I've realized. Right. Like, almost like a smokestack kind of.
If it does,
it's like dogs panting. When you see a dog panting and they got their tongue, that's them cooling themselves down.
Okay. Exactly. Because dogs don't sweat. We checked. They don't sweat in their fur or on their body at all. That's just how they have to cool themselves down. And the Scuzz Man's the same way.
Well, he does sweat. He's talked a lot about sweating.
He just said a second ago that he gets very hot and sweaty.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
But the what he calls sweat, I don't think
it's a different
what normal
thing.
People.
It's different.
I just think he's unlocked something where it's like, okay, so we see these animals, these incredibly intelligent animals, the dog, who has found a method of cooling themselves down, and we go, well, we sweat, so we won't also take advantage of this other thing that exists that we've seen it be effective. So, like, why, because you sweat, don't you also pant and ultimately cough a lot, hard and loud, in order to help cool yourself down quicker? And with Scuzz Man, I think we found, you know, maybe the reason is it's almost too effective, because then you do get so cold that you fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm asleep a lot of the times. Like, every waking hour of the day, I'm kind of asleep.
It's not,
don't call them waking hours. We've talked about this. Yeah.
Anything else.
Yeah, that's what you just call it. That's what you call it. Waking hours. You know,
it's,
you know,
not
people,
what you
they,
call
they know
the
what
time
I'm
when
saying.
You're asleep. That's
when
not
you
what
sleep,
you call it.
You're up for waking hours and you're just out for the count.
When you're asleep, you're not up. You're asleep.
Hayes, you're going to go round and round with the Scuzz Man about this. I've tried. Okay. I've tried to get him to see this kind of way of looking
Hayes,
at the word wake.
Hayes saw the bull today and said, I'll have one order of the horns, please. I mean, you just
so,
have your...
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. For what, yeah, like, said, just for, to help new listeners, Dom and the Scuzz Man have been on the show many times. What I think would actually be helpful is to kind of, like, explain some of the lore behind your appearances on the show. I would actually love to hear Scuzz Man recount just, like, as much of his kind of personal backstory and the kind of stories that you've told and experience on the show as you can. Like, I would just love to hear your kind of summary of it.
And am I seeing a Pepsi can behind you as well, Scuzzman?
Looks like a Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, Diet Pepsi.
Feel free to talk about that as well.
Okay.
It's full.
Unopened.
It does not look cold.
He's been saving that Pepsi for a special occasion.
It is getting hot. It is heated up. It was cold earlier. What happened was is that I went to a vending machine and I found out that this is expired. I don't know if you could see right there.
Okay.
April 2020. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I don't like to drink expired drinks. That's the one thing that Scuzzman does not like to do.
Okay, so this is
you do it, but you don't like it.
I do it.
He doesn't like it.
I do it if I have to, like if I'm forced to. But I don't like to do it.
For like a radio show or something.
Like a radio show on a doctor's appointment. Or sometimes people come up to the street, like fans of mine, and they're like, "You have to drink this. It's expired. And I have to do it." But I don't like it.
It looked like that. Can you have actually expired on 4/20/2020?
It did, apparently.
But you got to drink it, man.
Shit, really?
Drink, yeah.
Fuck, man. Oh,
could be
no.
fun to drink it on the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is an important all right, Pepsi
well,
to him.
This is going to be a good episode.
You challenged me. So, here, bottoms up. Oh
wow! He took
what a little
and
sip.
I can hear how thick it is. It sounds thick.
It tastes expired, that's for sure. Hey, I'm drinking it though. Show your listeners, viewers. It's going down.
Okay.
All right, but ooh. Yeah, get into your lore because we already have a little bit. That...
Ooh. Okay. What?
Let's talk about like some of your backstory.
All right. Well, yeah. The Scuzz Man, as you know, I live on the beach. I live in a school bus.
Mm-hmm. The Scuzz bus. That's right.
The Scuzz bus. Writing movies with this guy down here, making movies, doing movies. What else did I do?
That's four episodes, I think, worth of.
Well, there's two big
lore.
Movies we did.
Four? Yeah. Four? Damn. Wow. Time flies.
Now you're just drinking it recreationally.
Well,
first sip's always really important, and then after that, the sips become less. It becomes more casual.
Put a can of liquid in front of me, and I'll start drinking.
Okay. Dom, maybe you can fill some of the stuff in. The last time we talked to you was closer to the beginning of the pandemic, which was affecting you in different ways.
We had just locked down in the Scuzz bus. We were just on the cusp of shooting what wound up becoming it's an incomplete film. Beach Blanket Bingo Romp was what we, mm-hmm. and we read a part of the script here on the show, and we got some great feedback from you guys. But unfortunately, it just didn't wind up kind of coming together the way we thought. Pre-production was awesome, but the production
process, I remember.
Yeah.
Production had gone
it's a really,
really well.
Successful pre-production. Everything was teed up, like just so we were teed up for success with just a great crew that Scuzzman kind of reamed out at the rap party, the pre-production rap party. And so when we went to shoot, there just wasn't the crew, there wasn't the infrastructure, and that just a lot of the kind of clarity issues that you guys brought to light in the story were just frankly insurmountable. So we kind of took a step back a little bit and said, like, okay, we've written movies. We've kind of conquered that. We have this one setback. Maybe we try to figure out where Hollywood's headed instead of, like, trying to play catch up, you know? And that's when I realized Scuzzman kind of, he has a great investment mind. I hope you don't mind my saying that, Scuzzman.
No, please do. I've been making lots of investments. Fucking... stock market.
Okay.
When
he discovered the stock market, that was like a real like
that
lights
took
on.
Him into hyperdrive. Yeah, from where he had been obviously already a very good investor, and then the stock market was like pouring gasoline on a roaring flame because that allowed him to invest so much more efficiently and effectively. The thing I was curious about, Scuzzman, is I know that you obviously COVID created a lot of tragedy, but there also was, as you mentioned to me, a lot of opportunity. Particularly, there was a great need for testing, and you devised a rapid test. I think you called it a super rapid test because it was even faster than the 10-minute one. And a lot of people who didn't want the nasal option or even the saliva swab, you were willing to stick it up their butt.
Yeah. Yeah, I was willing to stick it up their butt because, you know, in a previous life, I have been a nurse, and I am used to administering tests like this. I don't know, you know, I don't know if you guys knew that about me, but I was a nurse in a previous life. I developed a test because I had COVID a bunch, like, you know,
yeah, you
six
had
or
it.
Seven Even times.
By the time we saw you, you had already had it multiple times.
Yes.
When we were recording, he was in a little bit of denial about like the last, but I mean, we wound up kind of taking one of the regular rapid tests.
But what better opportunity? I mean, like, it's, you know, obviously you weren't endangering any sort of like lab rat or anything. You knew that you had it and you were able to test. And when that test came back positive, you said, okay, this works because I know I definitely have it right now.
Yeah.
And I believe you were able to then get even more involved in the film industry because there were a lot of sets that started using your testing company. It sounded like you were making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah, man. I was doing the COVID protocols and everything and getting all these big, big names to let me fucking stick it up their ass, baby, and test them for the COVID. Yeah, I was raking it in.
Mission Impossible was you. I believe you were the person Tom Cruise was yelling at. Is this right?
Yeah, he was yelling at me because I was taking a little break. You know,
a mass break.
I was taking a mass break because I can't breathe. I needed a moment.
That's you were wearing a t-shirt that said that. I remember.
Yeah.
On set.
I had t-shirts. I had shorts and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can't breathe. Shorts.
I was trying.
It was on the booty.
I was trying to like, you know, give them a message and show them what, you know, what I'm all about.
Well, I've spoken to you a little bit about, I don't know how much you want to say, but I know that like when you talked to me, you said that you needed a lot of mask breaks because it was very hard for you to breathe through the mask, particularly because you had COVID.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that already was making it really hard to breathe. But I suppose Tom is not going to take that as a valid explanation. In fact, he would not want to hear that at all.
No, he did not like that. He did not like that, and he was like, how do you have COVID too? And I was like, hey man,
did Tom just come in? I mean, honestly, Scuzzman, the mimicry.
I've been working on that one.
Mr. Everybody.
Tom said that to him in front of everyone. He said, how do you have it too? And I was just like mortifying for Scuzzman.
Yeah, and what was that? Was that in reference to like that he also had COVID? Why did he say two?
in addition to having his mask off and being a lazy tester. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
He's like, you're testing and you have it too? Like, that was what he was saying. Yeah. But he even admitted afterward that he phrased it awkwardly. Like, he apologized to everybody.
He was so angry.
Yeah, he said, I'm usually so articulate. And I think that he actually wanted that edited out of the sound clip that was released of him yelling at Scuzzman because it really didn't fit with some of the other points that he made.
I have the recording. I have the original. And I'm thinking about releasing it again to make money off of that. See,
well,
you know,
wow.
I just have so many income streams right now. It's just like, it's all coming up Scuzz. I'll tell you that much.
But I've heard the original recording, and I actually would advise against you releasing it because the stuff that you're interjecting in between Tom, where you're saying like, why are you so stressed out, man? The test doesn't even fucking work anyway. Mm-hmm.
Let me put it up your butt. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stick it up your butt. It's going to turn green or blue, and they honestly look kind of the same. I just kind of feel it out whether I think the person is positive, and then I hit them with the stamp if they are. And you also were talking about stuff that was just unrelated, like opinions you had that I don't think it would be to your benefit to share that unedited audio.
Oh no, I disagree, man. I disagree. I mean, people got to hear what I got to say. You know, people got to, I'm sorry. Sorry, my old lady's coming in.
Scuzzman.
This is another one, Scuzzman?
Yeah. Hey, man. You know, that's
is that her?
And they just keep coming. Yeah, that's her. She's a dog.
Yeah. I'm telling you, when you use the word old, when you say old lady, it leads people to believe that it's a woman. Well, this happens at restaurants. This happens a lot. You said, hold on, my old lady's parking the car. And then the dog comes in and everyone's shocked.
Yeah, hands you its own leash and says,
"Yeah, well,
let's have some steak." I mean, in barks, it says that.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't speak English. Not yet. But she does drive a car.
The only financial setback I feel like you've had, Scuzzman, was when, because with all those tests, right, like everything that he was kind of putting up people's butts, mm-hmm. he was sending that off to a lab, and the lab we had never really corresponded with before that. Like, their kind of first knowledge that Scuzzman existed was when these
they started showing
swabs
up.
Started showing up, and they all were marked urgent. They were all marked super rapid, need immediately, mm-hmm. friends of Tom, and mm-hmm. and they obviously were like, we're not going to test this, and they had a whole kind of drawn out thing.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise. Yes, yeah, sorry, friends of Tom Cruise.
So
but, that case was thrown out.
So okay. the lab didn't exactly know how to handle it. That must have been disconcerting for them. Also, at a time when most labs were overworked already,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like a huge crate of butt swabs every day.
Yeah,
from the Scuzz,
I guess.
Man.
You figured this out, that these tests were basically like 100% effective, because if you are administering them and you're just like in proximity of the person getting the test, then they're
gonna
have
be positive.
COVID.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It raises the chances of the test being accurate to have the test happen around the Scuzzman who has COVID, because the test will be positive. Did you have one negative test that you gave, Scuzzman?
Yeah, we had one negative test.
But that was the one that you had spilled an entire Diet Pepsi on. Is that right?
I believe so. You know, the Diet Pepsi just turns the test around and it becomes negative.
Well,
especially
Jeff, I mean,
inspired.
And you and that led you to believe that Diet Pepsi cured COVID.
Yeah.
Which led him to and he invested heavily in that stock. Like, that's what led him to go really hard into Diet Pepsi, because he said, when other people figure this shit out, like, we are going to make some serious money. And so he bought, like, what, I think a million shares of Diet Pepsi?
A million shares of Diet Pepsi I have. And,
okay.
You know, I'm
just
still waiting.
Diet Pepsi, not in the Pepsi Cola company.
No. I called them up and I said, make sure this is just for the diet. And they were able to fulfill that
order.
They
could do that. Okay.
Yeah, well, when you got the connections that I got, you know, it's pretty easy.
Talk about some of your connections.
Well, in a previous life, I worked on Wall Street. If you don't know.
Okay,
that.
But you
this
just
is
found
after
out
you
about,
were a nurse.
You just found out about the stock market.
In this life, in a previous life.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Before he was a nurse, right? Before your life, yeah. Nurse life.
So this is all literal. You're saying that in actual, like, previous lives that you've had, not like previous careers.
Yeah. Have you heard of, like, the past life regression and all that?
Yeah well, but also I'm like,
I've done that a lot. Okay. You know what I mean? And I've had live after live after live.
Scuzzman had me hypnotize him. Yeah. He's done so many. He's had live after live. Scuzzman had me hypnotize him and regress into his past lives. He said, all right, I'm going to close my eyes. Now hypnotize me. I want to go back to my nurse life. And so then I would kind of hypnotize him. He would do that. And he would be a nurse, and we'd kind of have a little chat. And then we'd do that.
What did you learn? Like what time period was he a nurse in? I mean, I'm just curious about, it just seems like the least interesting detail of these conversations is just that he was a nurse.
He was just a mediocre nurse in, I think, the mid-70s. Okay.
So that is actually the most interesting part. He's just a normal nurse.
Did it for like 4 years and then retired and kind of moved on to something else.
Wow. But, yeah. So the conversation sounds like it was very boring.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to you guys around this time, and it was a little interesting that you were a nurse who ate cigarettes. Like, that was your favorite meal, was like a pack of cigarettes. And you would eat it with a fork and knife.
Hypnosis.
Okay, yeah, I could see why that wouldn't come up right away.
Well, you have a questionnaire where it's like, what's your favorite color? Right. Like, what kind of music do you like? And then one of that question was like, you know, dream dinner.
Cigarette.
Dream dinner was one of the questions.
Dream dinner, yes.
Okay. Fork, knife, plate of cigarettes is what what the nurse said.
I think it was dream dinner party. So it was sort of that, like, any three people living or dead, but the Scuzzman, as the nurse, just took it to mean, like, what would you be eating? And the answer was cigarettes, fork and knife included. Yeah.
Smoked cigarettes. They have to be smoked.
They have to be pre-smoked, okay.
They have to be pre-smoked.
He loves that smoky flavor, yeah.
Yeah, ooh, it's taking me back. Ooh, take me back, baby. To the 70s when I was eating those cigarettes.
Okay. Were you alive in like
in my past life?
We're in this current life, were you alive? Did some of these lives like overlap?
We've done the timeline. Yeah, there's one of his past lives overlaps by like 3 years with his current life.
Okay.
And he had another past life that's starting, I think, next week.
And working on Wall Street, it sounds a little like that was like maybe during like the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
So your current life was happening during all of these past lives as well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, Scuzzman 2 was working in Wall Street, and then Scuzzman 3.
Your past life is named Scuzzman 2?
Yeah. That's what I was named, Scuzzman 2.
Scuzzman 2, Money Never Sleeps, right? That's what you said your full name was?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I was doing a lot of cocaine on those days and making money on Wall Street,
On
baby.
Those days. Okay.
Yeah.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with
the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
Let's talk. So it seems like you're in this nice room. You've settled down. You're patronizing old vending machines. Like, your financial situation has kind of changed. Do you want to talk about any new projects that you all are working on, like, as writing partners? That's what we've tended to kind of get into, yeah, in the past with the two of you.
What's nice is that with the money Scuzzman has kind of accumulated, we're able to self-fund, right? So this whole process, yeah, with the studios and notes and trying to make our vision palatable to other people or explain it is just kind of over. I mean, the Scuzzman, yeah, is kind of like, what the way it works now is we pitch it to ourselves, and then Scuzzman goes, green light, and then he flips on this light that he thinks is green, but I don't think it's like,
it's because of his sunglasses, more, right? It kind of makes certain, yeah, things, yeah, look green.
Through the shades, they look green, baby. I mean, I gotta yeah, have the shades making me see everything green, you know, in order to get,
so all in order to traffic build lights the cash. Look green. Okay.
Yeah, hey. He walks around, he goes, green light. He's excited. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's good that you have you're in a relationship with someone who can drive.
Yeah.
In those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of speeding.
Although they also, I guess, the dogs are specifically red, green,
yeah,
colorblind.
His old lady's got the same problem.
Okay.
You also had
something that you have in common. So that's nice.
There was also a bit of a windfall when you sued Matthew McConaughey over his memoir title, right? Because Green Lights, you owned that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fucking sued the pants off of that guy.
Yeah, okay. And the shirt off him. He never wears one.
Never.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, thank
so proud of his body.
Thank the Scuzzman for that, right? I get no thanks for that.
Scuzzman has vowed he will not be the next governor of Texas. Scuzzman is going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to Texas, and I'm going to stop him, and I might run a campaign against him. You know, in my past life, I was a governor as well.
Okay,
so I've done
best
that
campaign
before.
Runners.
Any specific governor? Like, they're all. Like,
I tried to get him to
They must all be on like Wikipedia and stuff. Okay.
When we did the past life regression, he wouldn't say what state. He was cagey. He goes, my people didn't elect me to rat them out, is what he said. But I don't know how I'd be ratting them out just to say what state they're from.
What state you're currently the governor of. Can I ask, do you know, like, if as Dom is talking to you in your, like, past life regression,
yeah,
are they, like, just kind of going through their day in the 80s or whatever that, like, suddenly Dom is talking to them from the future? Like, how does that work? Like, yeah, could that just, like, happen to, could that happen to any of us?
Oh, of course. I don't know. Dom's got to do it. You know,
I guess I'm talking to Dom right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
it's really an interruption. It's an interruption. Like the first kind of 5 minutes of the past life regression is calming them down. Is calming
sure.
Either Scuzzman 3, 4, 2, Scuzzman Prime, whatever it is that we, whichever Scuzzman it is, we're talking to, and just kind of being like, "It's okay. I know you're not in the elevator anymore. You're here with me." And if he gets too scared, he'll kind of say time out, and then we'll kind of take a time out, and then he'll be like, "Don't ask me that," or you know, stuff like that.
But once they find out that that really you just are curious about this stuff, that it wasn't even for like anything that important, it sounds like.
I wish I had something more urgent to kind of ask them about or convey to them. But
you're asking
it's
them
really
they're
just a check-in.
Like pulling them out of their present day life to ask them about their dream dinner party, for example.
Yeah, I'm asking them like icebreakers, basically. Yeah.
Wow.
Favorite color should be off the questionnaire. I've said this because it never really gets all versions of Scuzzman. That's one thing they have in common is they all like the same color. It is green.
Okay.
It is green.
But with
I just want to point out that your sunglasses are not actually green. I mean, I know you don't know that, but they are. They're like kind of bluish green, but no one would look at that and say that's green.
I've been told that they don't look green, but I see green out of them.
Okay.
But with this, anyway, you were asking about future projects we have, and with this kind of nest egg, the Scuzzman has greenlit our latest project, which is a little more high concept, kind of in execution. It's a location-based movie. Like, we want to do a kind of...
Wow.
Last movie we did was all... We wanted to do was all at the beach, and we still kind of like this idea. And so... this year, we're making a movie at the Tokyo Olympics. We have a whole story mapped out.
Yeah.
You both look like you're in hotel rooms, possibly. Scuzzman's looks a little more upscale. Are you in Tokyo currently?
Majorly in Tokyo. And I don't want to get into too much of the specifics of it because... Getting into the Olympic Village itself to film is no easy feat, especially, you know, and so we have to, a lot of the resources, the money has gone into just kind of getting in the door, so to speak.
Okay. So this, these Olympics, from what I understand, there are no audience members allowed because of rising COVID cases. It's like a total disaster. Think that like more than usual, like the presence of the two of you just like showing up would kind of stand out. Also, I want to just point out that this has been done before. Nick Kroll made a movie at the Winter Olympics in 2018 that came out last year that was sold as the first movie ever made at the Olympic Village. It was called Olympic Dreams. So are you going to sell this as the second movie ever?
I think you say it's the second one. You say, hey, you've tried the rest, now try the best.
Okay.
You know, we're not the first to do it, but we have improved on the formula. I'm curious, does it help or hurt that in a past life Spellman was Richard Jewell? Because I guess you'd know your way around some of the Olympic stuff.
It helps,
but
Take a sip of that Diet Coke.
Pepsi, seems to be coagulating inside your...
Sorry, my throat is closing up real bad. It helps, man. You know, every Olympics is the same, pretty much. They pretty much have the same maps, you know, the same sort of thing.
Maps.
The same, you know, you got the same events. and the same things. Like, oh, this is where the village is. You walk a couple steps, you're going to go here, you're going to see swimming.
Now, that if there's one thing that I would not expect Richard Jewell to say, it's that every Olympics are the same.
That's what the guy thinks, though. You know, that guy.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to trust the guy that was there, you know? He was there.
And that's and you. Bombed. You were
and he.
You were there. This was in the 90s.
That was me. Yeah, this is Scuzzman. This is three and a half Scuzzman. And
three and a half Scuzzman.
Did you say he bombed it?
Yeah, he bombed it.
He was guilty.
This was the most confusing past life regression we did. This was the one that was the most, because it didn't come up until we saw the movie, when we watched the movie together.
Okay.
Then we did a past life regression. Scuzzman remembered he was Richard Jewell, but then I also don't think he watched the whole movie, because I know it was during his waking hours, so he was asleep for some of it.
Okay.
And I don't think he knew the kind of second half. And so, yes, I mean, in the kind of past life regression, it was like a big confession. It was like, I did it. I fucking hated those Olympians. Like, I mean, there's a lot of really kind of vitriol.
Okay. Mm. And now you're making a movie at the Olympics in
like
Tokyo.
A redemption.
What is, I mean, it's the Summer Olympics. You love the beach. Is it a beach volleyball like Olympic? Like, is that like part of it, or are you sort of moving on from that stuff?
Oh yeah, we gonna have the beach for sure. We gonna have the beach for sure. But
okay,
we also have other things, you know, because I realize that I gotta be more well rounded. I can't just stick to the beach all the time.
We've started to see the beach as a bit of a crutch. For Scuzzman, and we want to kind of branch out, but we want to not give a nod to the beach. So,
Do you want to that's already like pretty specific, but do you want to like dig into that anymore, Scuzzman? Like, you're saying that you will have the beach, but you'll also have other things. Are there any more details?
Oh yeah, well, we're gonna go into the village, right?
Okay, we have that.
That was said, yeah.
Yeah.
The number one movie to go into the Olympic Village. And we hope people interpret that as many ways as possible.
Okay.
And then you guys know what they got in Tokyo, right? They got They got a lot of those like Zen gardens and stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Have you seen those?
Yeah, I'm so relieved at
They got sand.
I
baby.
Can't tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, sand.
It's not always that. Yeah.
Hey, I got to stick to my brand, and it's sand. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm all.
So it's a different kind of sand. So it's not the beach, but it is like a rock garden or something.
Yeah.
Big sand.
You rake the sand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we rake the sand. So we're gonna check that out. Do they got soccer in the Olympics?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, you're at the Olympics.
You're the one who told me all Olympics are the same, and you've been...
We saw the national team with the soccer balls yesterday, Scuzzman, remember?
Oh, right.
You stole their ball. You stole their ball, and they got pissed. You punted it onto the roof of the gym.
Those idiots.
There was a gym?
Yeah, the Olympic gym. He kicked it. He kicked the ball on the roof of the gym, and then they made us go up and get it down. And we were up there. There were so many balls.
Come on, dude. Of course, there's a gym.
Okay.
They have to work out.
No gym at the Olympic Village.
Well, just like the gym is not. Just I don't know. I'm not at the Olympics.
I'm not either. But I'm not surprised to hear that there's a gym there. Yeah, I'm surprised that Scuzzman stole the national team soccer ball and kicked it onto the roof, and that then they went up there and got it, and there were other balls on top of the gym. That surprises me a little bit.
That makes me wonder if, like, just how many coexistent past lives that there are for Scuzzman. He's at all these different personas kind of doing the same thing, like, over and over again.
Well, he sleeps so much that we've started wondering if that's when he's inhabiting these other lives.
Okay.
And that's when he kind of like a movie we just saw recently, Fight Club. We just kind of dug into that one. And that was like a blew our minds a little bit with the kind of structure.
Okay. So you watch a lot of movies together to kind of like
inspire your movies.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you actually are using some of the stuff from Fight Club in your movie now.
Yeah, a lot of the kind of like anti-materialism is making its way in. Scuzman's character has a huge monologue about just like how he's not his fucking khakis and he's not his shirt either and he's not his hat and he kind of
you are not your bus,
all his clothes.
So a lot of Scuzman is you are not your sunglasses, you are not your bus, you know, you
you are not
your Diet Pepsi.
Yeah,
it was like. You know, it made it feel a little more personal to me. On it, I found it, you know, in the pages you sent, I found it a lot more effective even than the Fight Club one.
But at its heart, the movie's kind of a romantic comedy, I think, is how we're starting to see it. It's the Scuzman and Olympian.
The other movie was that as well. The Nick Kroll movie was... That was also the genre. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but that's what it was.
No, that one's really not on our radar, I guess. I mean...
Yeah, I never even heard of it. I never even heard of that guy.
You've never heard of Nick Kroll?
Okay.
No, never heard of him.
No disrespect, but Scuzman hasn't. It's just not in his orbit.
Okay. Well, Scuzman, do you want to talk about kind of what, like, some of what happens in this movie? Like, what? Just
all
like
right.
a basic plot summary would be amazing.
All right. Well, basically, we're going into the village. And
that we know. First of all, you should
that's
say
the start of it.
It's you play and, multiple characters in this, right?
Okay.
Like, I play multiple characters. So I play a runner. I'm a Olympic runner. Olympic runner. From America. And I'm trying to find this other runner, I think they're from Japan, and we met at the trials, and we just had a blast. We were just
it's like a friend of his.
Yeah, it was a friend of mine, and
you had a really good time at the trials.
Yeah, and... we were just like talking about how these losers are running, and like we're gonna beat them. It's like no big deal.
Okay.
And,
I can't
find them in the Olympic Village. They're lost.
They're lost.
So a lot of it is me trying to find them, going through tents, going through like, you know, cabins and stuff, just trying to find my friend.
Sorry to go back on this, but it just surprises me that you've never heard of Nick Kroll, because you do play a bunch of characters, and one of them is named like Buddy the Bottle Server, and one of them is named like Gil Fufan. And there was another one that you said, this one I'm probably not allowed to do anymore, was in the stage directions. and it was named like Fabiz or something.
Fabiz.
I don't know. I actually thought maybe you were a big fan or something, just because like you're doing this romantic comedy in the Olympic Village and you are playing characters that are, whether you know it or not, sound pretty similar to some stuff that he has done. And it's not what you're describing in the movie. Obviously, you're talking about this runner who can't find the other runners, which that sounds like a really clean story.
That,
you know, you have a very clear intention and obstacle. Obviously, the intention is to find the runners. The obstacle is that you can't find them.
He doesn't know where they are. Yeah.
And it gives you a great opportunity to do sort of your character superpower, which is to run and look for them. But, you know, you have these other characters as well, and I'm wondering how they fit in, and maybe if I could even meet one or two of them, because it seems like they are going to be more fresh and more original than I originally, you know, than I had thought.
Well,
Scuzman plays this one Italian. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, you play that one. you play that one Italian runner, the spaghetti long legs.
Yeah, okay. Spaghetti long legs. Hello, okay. I'm Spaghetti Long Legs, and I'm going around to all the tents, and I'm doing this for them because also I want to entertain them as well as find that other runner that I'm looking for, my friend. I have a Fabiz.
Okay.
Fabiz. He go like this. He talk. Yeah. Hey, you. Hey, what you doing to my shoes like that? That's okay. Fabiz.
You might think some of the vocal choices sound
similar.
What
are similar, they doing to his shoes? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what's happening in that scene?
Okay, yeah, let's back up.
Well, it's just a bunch of teenagers, and they're just like stomping on his shoes. And he's like, hey, don't you do that to my shoes. Don't you do that to my shoes. I do this in the movie.
Yeah, it sounds similar to Spaghetti Long Legs, little like less of an accent, but it's close.
Yeah, all these characters have issues with their shoes. Bobby Bonal service.
Okay, that's service. Changed since the script I read, but I know it was an old draft. Bobby Bonal service. Yeah, what's he saying?
He's like, hey, get the fuck off my fucking property, okay? You fucking idiot.
And by property, he means his shoes, from what I recall. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to change it up. You can't just keep calling it shoes. He's like, get the fuck off my property. I go to another tent, do that. So this fucking guy.
And so this is, I mean, you're at the Olympics, so it sounds like you've taken the opportunity to play characters of basically every race in order to like kind of address some of like these tension, you know.
You're hoping for international sales, and also, you obviously want to kind of settle some of the tensions that have been rising over the past year or two, especially like reaching almost a fever pitch. And I think it's noble that you believe that this movie could solve it, in your words.
Mm-hmm.
There's one scene where all the Scuzzman's characters are having one kind of big dinner, and they're kind of having this really kind of deep debate about some of this stuff. It's like a nice moment in a kind of otherwise funny, heartfelt, you know, romantic comedy, but then like all the various kind of nationalities that Scuzzman is playing really break bread together.
I think when an Olympic weightlifter starts flexing his muscles and then his mom starts saying, Hercules, Hercules. And I thought all of these, you know, different sort of moments of levity that you can find in the midst of a pretty impactful discussion about, you know, some of the harms that have been done. I did like that you also tried to build in, whether from another movie or not, I don't know if they are.
That's all original.
Okay,
great.
I just like
the one.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the one kind of common ground that they find they all have is that none of them want people stepping on their shoes. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of like, no matter what race, no matter how much money you have, no matter how fast you can run, you don't want people stepping on your shoes.
Okay. And the fact that he's running in a race as well is like, it seems like there are opportunities to like play. I'm sure that that's like territory that you explored. What's the Scuzzman? What's the event that the runner for America is running in?
He's the 400 meter relay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he does every part.
So he does all four parts of it. Okay.
He does all four parts of it.
He does the whole relay. I wasn't aware that was allowed, but it's pretty impressive.
That happens at the end. And he does different characters while he's doing it too.
He falls behind in the relay every time he hands off the baton because he has to do a quick change into the kind of next outfit of the relay guy. But he makes up for it because he's got just blistering fast pace.
To go back to the dinner scene as well, like some of the characters in the relay race are also at the dinner scene. And I was curious about the reasoning, just whether, I don't want to draw a direct comparison, obviously, to Sherman Klump or the Klumps, but I do think of runners as Olympic runners as lean. And you did describe them all as having, like, you know, big fat suits on and, mm-hmm. and being, you know, just huge and booking down the track, which is a thrilling visual, especially if they are as fast as you say. But I'm curious why that is.
Well, then it's just much more interesting. I mean, come on.
I guess it is you more know? Interesting. Than
I've seen skinny
build.
Runners. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I haven't
yeah.
seen a Sherman Klump type.
Okay.
Runner.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen the runner without like a lot of weight to carry, with their kind of nimble, like, you know, right. lean muscle mass and training. But what they haven't seen is what kind of Scuzzman's offering, which is, you know, that suit runs and what does okay. that look like? And is it funny?
So does the American runner find his friend?
Yeah, at the end he finds his friend and they make sweet love, you know?
Okay, they have sex.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
We show it.
Yeah. Okay, that happens a lot in movies. You're sort of acting like
No.
We're not afraid to show a sexual encounter in this movie. Like we're straight up going to do it, I think. And they might be under covers a little bit, but you'll also see some kind of bare butt in there.
Okay.
And we're just going there because no one can let us know. We're self-funded.
I hope that you do not have, when we see the bare butt, one of Scuzzman's branded COVID tests sticking out of the butt as like a product placement.
Of course.
That to me is that's going to take me out of the film. It really dates it as well, I hope. Yeah.
But I guess it dates it to the 2021 Olympics.
I guess, so. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's dated to the Olympics that it's taking place during.
Yeah, it's like a commentary too, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is what's taking place in this world. Like, uh-huh. let's not forget what we all just went through.
Yeah.
And, you know.
In what sense is it a commentary?
Well, you know, like it's a COVID test, you know. Just
I know, like what's being shown on screen, but like, what is the comment that?
Well, they do show it.
Okay, yeah, we show it,
and we're like, hey, okay. hey, guys, remember?
I did like.
You remember we went
it's
through
a,
it?
We
all.
Okay? I guess a lot of movies. I never thought of it as a comment of movies that take place in the past to say like we remember this.
I did like the dialogue right before where she says, do you have protection? Uh-huh. And you say, oh, yeah. And you take out a COVID test and stick it up your own butt.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that just that's trying to say, you know, we remember. And also, yeah. I'm getting to make a little bit of cha-ching. I'm getting make a little money off of it as well, you know.
You paid your company from the movie budget. You moved that money over.
That one test.
Yeah. And we're going to put a QR code up that you can scan and you can order some of the butt tests if you want, like while you watch the movie, which I think will help drive sales too.
Yeah, QR codes all over this movie. Is that something that Nick Kroll did? I don't think so. What else?
Language barrier wasn't an issue. You kind of snapped right into that.
Oh, yeah. I can speak Japanese pretty well.
You're fluent in Japanese. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then, sayonara.
Oh, shit.
Scuzzman, you know what that means, right?
Yo, it means peace. Bye.
Normally just bye. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just bye. Yeah. So I guess that's us saying goodbye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.